Psycho Man. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 379 here on the Motorcycle Men Podcast. Joining me here today in the V-Twin Cafe is our good friend Tim James and Ron West, and they are from Backcountry Discovery Routes, and they are here today to tell us about the Northern California BDR, which they just completed. So we're going to talk about that, but first, before we get into that, the Motorcycle Men Podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. I use nothing but Scorpion Helmets. I love them. You should love them, too. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go to wild-ass.com and tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Men Podcast sent you on over to get your own cushion so that you can do the Northern California BDR. You're going to want that. And always, Tobacco Motorwear. For the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com. And our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Your safety is worth it, so get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. Everybody here at the podcast is wearing the Tobacco Motorwear riding jeans and a California riding shirt. I use the Roper gloves. Couldn't be happier with this stuff. I won't ride without it, and you shouldn't either. And a stuck-up sticker company. Boys and girls, everybody wants stickers. You need stickers. Your fans want stickers. So get them from the stuck-up sticker company. The cost, turnaround time, and quality is what you get with them. They care about those details, and they know you don't have a lot of money to spend, and you need to get the most for your budget. So the stuck-up sticker company. Let their sticker Jesus take care of your sticker needs. Time now for that interview with Tim and Ron. Hello, boys and girls. This is Ted, and this is the Motorcycle Men Podcast, episode 379. And joining me today here all the way from, well, Tim, you're in New Jersey. And Ron, where are you?
I'm in Southern California.
Southern California. We got Tim James and Ron West from BDR, and they're here to talk to us about one of their new routes. How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you so much.
Excellent. I'm glad you guys came. Tim, you welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is becoming a regular thing with you. I'm going to have to give you a chair at the office now. And Ron, as you know, your task is now to beat Tim's record for the longest interview. So.
No.
All right. So for those of there out there who do not know who you guys are and what you do, why don't you tell us who you are, your motorcycle self, and what you guys do.
Me?
Tim? It doesn't matter. Tim or Ron, does he? Well, you guys can duke it out.
Well, I'm Ron West. I didn't grow up motorcycling like a lot of others did. But I got into it back when my son turned 13. He decided he wanted to ride motorcycles, and I got tired of going to the motocross track and just watching them go in circles. So I gave it a go. Of course, I took one lap around the track. No, that's not for me, but I started trail riding. So that was quite a few years ago. Joined the BDR as a volunteer. I think it was 2016, and in 2019 I was invited to serve on the board of directors. So that was an honor, which that I absolutely was not expecting. But it's been great, and just the whole organization, the individuals are just great people.
Wonderful. And then Tim, I guess we need to go on you too, right?
So yeah, I've been riding motorcycles on and off my whole life. You know, similar story to Ron, didn't really ride a lot when I was a kid, more as an adult, but rode some dirt bikes when I was a kid, and street bikes all through my 20s, and took a little break in my 30s and to kind of build my company, and then started riding street bikes again, mostly BMWs, and then got the adventure bug. Bought my first GS in, I don't know, 2008 or something, and did some cool trips around the world and really got into it, you know, kind of discovered the BDR organization through a friend of mine who lived out west, and went and did my first BDR and raised my hand right afterward and said, I got to help this organization, because I could see the writing on the wall. I knew it was going to be a successful organization, because how they were structured as a nonprofit and just, you know, doing great things, great yeah. ideas. And the trend towards, you know, adventure motorcycles was growing back then and has continued to grow till now, right? This is still booming. So I currently serve on the board with Ron, and I have a functional role within the organization as creative director. So I get involved in all that.
Oh, wow.
Fun stuff, you know? Yeah. You know, the marketing, the advertising, the art direction, all that fun stuff.
Wow. So what was your first BDR then?
The Utah BDR.
The Utah,
Yeah. And it was, I think it was one of only three routes back then. So I did it with a buddy of mine that lived in Arizona. And I'll never share pictures of when I first packed for that. It's been embarrassing, because I always tell people to pack light, you know, pack as little as you can on these BDRs. People always overpack. I look at how I packed for my first ride, like three duffel bags, side bags. I mean, I think I had everything. I could have been out there for 3 months and survived and not had to do laundry. So learned a lot since then.
Yeah. Is that the first time you met Ron?
I met Ron, actually. Ron and I met at a gas station. If you remember this, Ron, right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget the moment I met Ron. We were actually in a gas station, and we were headed to the same fundraiser, the BDR fundraiser. We pulled up. You were on a BMW 650. Am I right in saying
no,
that?
No, I was on my 2000 Africa Twin, the XRV 750.
It was the Africa Twin. Is that what you were riding?
Yeah,
and that was we both attended the same fundraiser. I think that's where we first met, right? And it was the Death Valley one. Is that the first one?
No, it was that one was Arizona.
So that's where we met, and neither one of us were on the board. We were just kind of volunteers and just getting started, and we weaseled our way in, right? And we're still here. They can't get rid of us, right, Ron?
I guess that's a good way to put it, right? Before we get into this new route, why don't you tell us who was part of the filming of the documentary and how many riders and who they were on this particular ride?
Oh, did you point to me?
Yeah, it's all you.
There was 13 of us. There was from the BDR, there was Ina and Tim, Paul, and then two of our ambassadors, Chris Fant, who's just a joy to ride with, Trevor Morton, mm-hmm. who was the co-architect of this route. And then our guest riders were Trevor Doniak from Zero and Richie Few from the BMW Performance Center, which I might add, it was the first time that he had ever been to California. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was so much fun to ride with that guy. And then our film crew, Sterling, Michael, Eli Woody is our still photographer, Cam's last name?
Sale.
Yeah.
Cameron Sale.
Okay. And then Nathan Fant was our support driver.
Oh, okay.
So 13 of us in total.
Wow. Now, has Sterling filmed all of your documentaries so far?
All but two. I think.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because I know he's been mentioned on practically every one of them. But so your latest BDR is the Northern California BDR. Now, prior to this, you had the Wyoming and Oregon. The question I have is, why wasn't the Northern California done right after you finished the Southern California one?
Fires, floods, and pestilence.
Okay, I'm not laughing at that. Well, maybe I am.
Yeah. the last 5 years, you know, I mean, California's just been absolutely devastated by wildfire. I mean,
we had
the Aldar fire, the Dixie fire, which was over 1 million acres burned. So it seemed like if it wasn't on fire, it was so full of smoke, it would not have made for great video.
Right.
And then in 2017, we had record snow. And then in 2013, we had record snow. So it was just tough. And also, I think in retrospect, it was kind of good, because after we did Southern California, we went back east. You know, so we kind of flipped back and forth between the coasts. So in the end, I think it was good that we did it when we did.
Really? Now, how would the winter snowfalls affect you doing your planning your route for the northern? How would that affect it?
Well, so for example, we had initially planned on filming our route the end of June, which the previous year we had scouted almost the entire route in May, and had gotten through. There was a couple areas that you know, there was some issues with snow, but the Sierras, I think the snowpack was about 200% of normal. So some of the higher elevations in June were still under snow, and we kind of anticipated that.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we moved
the filming from June. We talked about maybe July, middle of July. Nathan Fant and Chris Fant went and scouted some areas, and they still couldn't get through for snow.
No
so
kidding.
We pushed the filming back to the end of September.
Oh, wow. Anything you want to add to that, Tim?
No, I mean, it was just, you know, and also you asked about the winter snow. It also, once that's all that snow melts, that unprecedented amount of snow, right, Ron? Wasn't quite sure what was going to lie beneath it, right? Because you get all that moisture, and you get, you know, you get all that and all that melting fast, you get, you know, runoff and God knows what kind of, you know, condition the roads are in, right?
Yeah. We pre-ran the entire route because I just wasn't sure that it was even going to go through with all of the washouts. In fact, we took two advanced sections out because it had gotten just washed out too bad.
No kidding.
So ran it to make sure the route was still there. And then Sterling and I pre-ran the route to set all the GPS filming locations. So it was the end of September, later than we wanted. I think this is, and maybe Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this might have been one of the latest in the years that we had filmed a BFR documentary.
Yeah, it was, and it put a little bit of pressure on the production team, you know, to put the film together in a few months and build a map and get the map printed. A lot has to happen between when we all head home from finishing up a filming expedition, and when what was this past weekend, our big premiere.
Wow, I can imagine. What you're talking about the snowpack, and this got me curious. What kind of elevations were you hitting?
Well, I think the highest elevation is a little over 11,000.
Really? Oh man,
at Mount Patterson. I'd say probably the average altitude at the southern end of the route's probably well over 8,000.
Oh man!
So we've got, you know, the high Sierras are called high Sierras for a reason.
Yeah. So was there any altitude acclimation you had to go through?
No, you know, the team did really well. Mm-hmm. I know there were some issues when they filmed the Colorado route. I think a couple had issues, but no, you know, you're up and down pretty fast.
Right.
You know, so when you do hit the upper elevation, you're up and down pretty quick.
Damn. So what?
Yeah, I mean, Colorado, you're up in like 13,000 range, right?
So it's really
a little different.
Jeez.
Yeah. I think what is it? California Pass, I think, is the highest on the Colorado.
Yeah, I think it's 13,000.
Yeah, 13 change.
Yeah, when you get around those altitudes, I know any slightest bit of exertion, it just tears you down. Mm. The slightest bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as it goes for challenges you faced doing this route, what kind of challenges did you face in creating this route? Yeah,
I think with any BDR, you know, one is just to make sure that we're on roads that we're going to be able to maintain access.
Yeah,
so a lot of checking for there, and then I think honestly, you know, one of the biggest challenges is in California. I mean, we are absolutely blessed with tens of thousands of miles of dirt road. So the real challenge is figuring out, you know, which is the best way to go. There's so many different options that we had. It's just, you know, you try to ride virtually everything you can, So that was the other advantage of, you know, the fact that this took so long, you know, almost 5 years in development, is that we kept going back and rewriting other routes. We got, ooh, this is a nice little switch. Let's replace this with that. That's just constantly kind of tweaking the route over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Tim?
No, I think that's, you know, what Ron touched on. You know, they want to make these routes evergreen, right? So searching out roads that we think will still be there or still be open, because putting these routes together are a lot of work. And if we, you know, lose roads, you know, in the coming years after a launch, it's a lot of work then to reroute it, redo the map and educate everyone on the new route. So again, try to keep it as evergreen as possible. So that's part of the selection process too.
Wow. One interesting thing. So I'm looking at the maps. I'm looking at the Southern California BDR, and then I look at the Northern California BDR route, and I go like, well, wait a minute. How come the northern one does not start where the southern one finishes?
Yeah, Ron, how come?
Why?
I will tell you exactly. So the original idea was to start it in at Benton.
Yeah,
where the northern or the Southern California ended, and I remember the exact moment I decided that I felt we should change it, and that was a few summers ago. I had to do a fix on the Nevada BDR, so and I have a little condo in Mammoth, so yeah, that had something to do with it too. But anyway, Mammoth is pretty close to the Nevada BDR, and so I left Mammoth in the morning. It was nice and cool. I ran over with the bike in the van, did the fix to the Nevada route. As I came back, I went through Benton, and it was about 102.
Okay.
And then I got up to Mammoth Lakes, which is only, you know, less than 50 miles away. It was in the mid 70s. It was beautiful. It was cool. And I thought, you know what? This just feels like Northern California, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know what? Rather than start the route, you know, kind of a hot, dry place, let's start it under the largest Jeffrey pine forest in the world, which is around Mammoth Lake.
Yeah. And plus, hey, you know what, Ted, we got to leave a little bit of adventure up to our riders, right? You got to find your way to the next route. We can't make it too easy.
You know,
it does open up an opportunity. It opens up an opportunity for us to create connector routes. And that is part, you know, we do that. We haven't done it to all of the routes, but when there's a long enough distance, you know, we put that on the agenda to put a small connector together to link them all up. And that's, I'm sure that's on the agenda at some point for this one. Right, Ron?
Yeah, we actually have connectors because the original idea was to start in Benton. So we have a route. We have both an advanced section that goes from Benton to the start of the route, and then we have an easy section, which just basically kind of follows Highway 120.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, because the OCD in me was going like, that. Why? Why does it's this, you know?
Yeah, you know, but there's few of them that actually do. I mean, I don't even know if there's any that actually touch, right? I think there's some that come pretty close.
They come close. There's some that come close.
I think Nevada and Idaho do. Don't they start
the same? I don't know. You got me looking now. I'm calling it up. I'm going to see here.
Ron, this is...
Oh, yeah. Look at that. See? See, Nevada and Idaho do link. In fact, Colorado and Wyoming link. Mm-hmm. And, again, you know, why... You know, New Mexico... Yeah.
Almost, because Wyoming Bags is a little north of the border, so I don't know if it actually there's probably going to still be a little bit of a difference.
It's very close. Yeah. It's very close. We'll let you slide on that one.
Yeah, I would say the idea is to produce the, you know, the best route.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't exactly line up, and we can start in a better place or have, you know, better trails. I think that's a little more of the criteria that we're looking at.
All right, so you'll create connectors for all of these routes so they can all intermingle with each other. Okay, well, there you go. All right. So go ahead.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was just saying that actually, you know, one of the things that we're talking about and why this route is so significant is because it was the final piece of the puzzle on the West Coast. Right, Ron? Do you want to talk about that?
Water. Yeah, I mean, so now with the creation of the Northern California route, you can ride BDR from, in essence, the Mexican border to the Canadian border,
yep.
all on BDL. So Southern, Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. So can't wait for the first person to do that.
Wow, that'll be fun. And, you know, eventually you're going to have Montana in there, and then you'll be able to do it. You can do it in three different regions if you wanted to. That's really cool.
And before that, Ted, we're going to be doing it at back east because we're going back east.
Oh, you are? Are you? Uh-oh. Well, we'll talk about that really soon. All right. But listen, so now the northern half has nine sections, and the southern half only has seven sections. Now, what was it? Was it because of the difference in terrain or the distance that dictated that?
I think what we're starting to do is try to standardize all the routes. In fact, we're going through as we're having to reprint maps. I think the criteria has moved from you know possibly a day's ride to fuel.
Okay.
So from fuel to fuel, I think, is a section. I think that's what we're moving towards.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right, Ron. We're trying to have the sections end at fuel, not necessarily at towns, but at fuel. So it might not be the end of a day for you, you know, but it's we end at fuel. So that's a good point, Mark, because that is, you know, Michael Bilecki, who's our new routes manager, and Bryce Stevens, who's our director of route development, are working really closely and looking across all of our routes and trying to push for some standardization, you know, because, you know, we started 12, 13 years ago, right? Did things certain ways, and, you know, 13 years, you learn a lot, right? And so now we're just trying to go back and look at all of them and make sure everything's up to snuff and everything's kind of consistent.
Now how many people did you have riding again? 13 or 13 total were on it, but how many riders did you actually have? What was the number again?
12.
Yeah, 12 riders. Okay. Did everybody have the same bike? And there was obviously going to be range anxiety because not everybody can go the same distance. So how did you manage that?
Yeah. So let me just, you know, go back and say, yes, we had 12 riders, but that's cast and crew, right? So our crew, our camera people are on bikes as well. And people always ask that, what are the camera guys doing? What are they? No, they're riding. And so it makes it even more difficult because they're doing these routes and they don't get a chance to think about the route itself and how difficult it could be or, oh, geez, what's around the corner? They need to get around the corner and get that shot, right?
Yeah.
So they're unbelievable. They're awesome riders and awesome artists as well, you know, so it's kind of cool. But anyway, back to your question about range. Ron?
Oh,
the question, I think, Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're asking about all the different bikes and the different ranges.
Right. Yeah. How did you manage that? Obviously, somebody's not going to be able to go as far as everybody else.
No. But what we do is, you know, well before we start the expedition, the filming expedition, you know, we have the route all mapped out. So everyone that's on the team knows what the sections are, what the distance between fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a bike that doesn't have the range, then you better bring some extra fuel.
Oh, that's what you guys do. Okay. All right, cool. That's good. How, on average, what is the average distance? Well, let me ask you this question. What's the longest section you have with this Northern California route, and what's the shortest section?
I think the longest is between Chester and Alturas, and I want to say it's maybe about 140 miles. Is that sound about right? And that's if you take the advanced section. The advanced section actually bypasses a little town called Bieber, and so you miss a fuel stop if you take the advanced section, and then I think the shortest is probably between Bear Valley and Kybers, and
okay.
I think that's a little.
That looks
little
like it looks like a little short little section there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 90 miles, 89 miles.
Oh, that's not
bad. You just talked about.
But that wouldn't take you very long to do. I mean, I think 90 miles, and, you know, well, again, you're thinking on road, you're doing that in maybe 2 hours, and maybe an hour. Yeah, okay, but on dirt, I don't know how long it takes you to do something like that.
Yeah, actually, Ron, I pulled the map out so that we can be accurate here.
Thank you.
So, yeah, So the shortest distance is actually Section 9, which is Alturas to the border, and that's 87 miles.
Wow.
And then the one that Ron was talking about, which is Bridgeport to Bear Valley, is just under 90 miles.
Okay.
So, and the longest one, it looks to be, Ron, is 125, Chester to Beaver?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. How long would that take you to do?
That particular section unfortunately has probably the most pavement of any of them.
Oh.
We literally, you know, we did the advanced section between Chester and Alturas, and then we had to find an easier way. And we literally spent weeks up there trying to find another way through that avoided pavement. And we just couldn't find it. So the advanced section, like I say, it misses Beaver, the fuel stop in Beaver. And so, you know, that particular section really just, I'd say, a few hours because there's a lot of pavement.
Oh, wow. A few hours. What do you do with your time then when you're at the end of that, you finish this? Oh, now then what do you do?
You know, this particular route has got so much to see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you could zip through, I think, any of the BDRs and just, you know, just blast through them. But, you know, we don't want you to do that. We want you to ride respectfully when you go through small rural communities. And even in this route, there's a couple dirt sections where you're going right by cabins, summer cabins and people's homes. So, you know, take your time, you know, enjoy. And just slow down and just really enjoy everything that the route has to offer.
Sure. Absolutely. I just want to enjoy it. Was there a favorite or least favorite section?
Tim, I'm curious what your...
Well, Ron, so Ron, you know, Ron knows it so well, right? And me, it was the first time I've ever ridden it. So a least favorite section... nothing stands out. I have to tell you, and this is just not, this is not me just blowing smoke here. This entire route is breathtaking.
Oh, wow.
The scene, it's Northern California.
Yeah.
In the Sierra Nevadas. Every day just seemed to get better and better with the views. We'd get to, you know, another fire lookout, and you would just see for like miles and miles and miles, and we would see, Ron will be like, well, that's where we're going to go tomorrow, all the way over there. And that's where we were yesterday. And Ron knows this route like no one else. Well, maybe Trevor, his partner in development there. But it's breathtaking. The entire route. It really is.
Wow. Ron?
I would say it's a toss up. The section up to Mount Patterson is just spectacular, and then the most amazing fire lookout I've ever been to is Sierra Buttes. And so I mean those two sections are just breathtaking. I think from a riding perspective, just the dirt, probably from Uncle Tom's Cabin to about the 80, that section through there, just fun, just really fun. You know, Tim had mentioned about the fire lookouts, and on this route there are 13. So either on or just off the route there are 13 fire lookouts.
Oh, wow.
And to his point, it's absolutely amazing because you're down in kind of some deep forest and you pop out on a fire lookout, and you can look south where you were and north where you're going, just up and down. It's just real. So if you like fire lookouts, you're going to love this route.
Wow, that's one of the things that always got me about the BDRs, because I've seen them all except for the Southern California one, obviously, and a Northern California one. I didn't watch the Southern California one yet because I want to watch it with the Northern California one. So I want to do like one whole thing, unlike your route that doesn't connect. I want to see the whole thing from front to back. Mm-hmm. But
all right.
each one of the BDRs have their own terrain challenges. You know, even like the Northeast BDR, it had some challenges up there with boulders and rocks and everywhere. And even with Utah, for example, there's, you know, the drop offs and washouts and sand through Nevada. What kind of things did you face in the Northern California BDR?
One is I think that there's just some really steep terrain. And like I say, because you're going up and down, there's some steep terrain. The southern third of the route, I think, is more difficult than the rest, pretty rocky. So you've got rocky, steep switchbacks to get up on the advanced sections.
Right.
The main route, honestly, is pretty easy. It did, unfortunately, get more difficult over the last year or two because of the record snow and runoff that we had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the original idea after we started scouting this thing is that Trevor Morton, the other co-creator on this route, you know, we started looking at that. Wow, you know, we have an opportunity here that, you know, we could make the main route easier and then allow us to make the advanced section harder. So that was kind of the overarching goal, is to make the main route, you know, as approachable to a first-time BDR rider. You still have to have dirt skills. I mean, you can't make a route 940 miles long and not in the backcountry not expect there's going to be challenges.
Right.
But that was kind of the overarching goal, is to try and make the main route on the easier side, which left us open to just make the advanced sections hard as we wanted to.
Ah, okay. I see. Now, everybody who rode the course... And I'm going to assume that not everybody has ridden this course at all, and this is their first introduction to it when you guys started filming. Did you have that?
Yeah. Well, sure. Most of us had never ridden it. The only ones that had ridden it before and on the team, well, that's, I wouldn't say most. So Ron has ridden it, and Ron and Trevor, of course, they co-created it. Sterling had ridden it just prior. With I believe Michael did as well, Michael Blackie.
No, it was Sterling and I.
So Sterling rode it before, and that's typical that Sterling will ride it right before the filming expedition, so he can set his filming waypoints and get to know the route. Ina hadn't ridden it. Paul hadn't ridden it. Chris Fant had ridden it. She's one of our ambassadors. Her husband. Nathan Fant was the architect of the Oregon BDR, and they're just a riding power couple. They get out there and they just ride and scout, and they love it. So they did a little scouting as well, right, Ron, at some point?
Yeah. So Chris and Nathan helped us a lot on this particular route, and then there was one trip that we did with Trevor Doniak from Zero. So he came out, he scouted with us, and basically we kind of wanted to get a feel for the range of the bike and make sure that this was something that was going to be doable. So he scouted with us. But other than that, no one had had set foot on the route.
Wow. So what all those who have not ridden it before, what was everybody's reaction to what they were facing as they were doing this ride?
My favorite reaction was Richie from BMW. And that guy, like I said, had never been even to California. And at the end of each day or the end of each section, I'd go up to Richie and I go, "So Richie, you know, what do you think of California?" And he's just go, "I have no words." You know, he was it was so fun to see through someone else's eyes their reaction, you know. So it's really rewarding to see. And I think Paul, you know, Paul had a really good time on this route. So, and Tim?
Yeah, I had a great time. I had a fantastic time on this route. I mean, I had ridden the Southern California one as well, and I don't know if we mentioned that Ron is the author of the Southern California route as well.
Okay.
We mentioned that early. So, I just loved every bit of it. I had a great time. I did a number of the advanced sections. I didn't do the couple of the super expert sections. I wasn't quite up for it. But some of those advanced sections were pretty advanced. The rockiness, the steepness. Mm-hmm. What's that really rocky one up to that?
Verde Peak.
Verde Peak. That is what everybody kept calling the paint shaker. that was a legitimate. And there was a couple, and then, but I loved every bit of it. I would go back and ride it again. I would love to.
Wow. So, with all the other BDRs you've done, there was a lot of camping. So how was I guess that was the same for this one as well. Yes?
Well, that was the first plan. You know, when we were filming in June, we were planning on camping almost the entire route. And then when it turned out that we weren't going to start filming until the end of September, and there's weather on the way, we actually end up staying in lodging more than we normally do on this particular route.
Wow. Yeah. That must have been a welcome change.
It's kind of nice.
especially if it's raining on you for the entire day, and it was 30, was it 35 degrees all day and raining on us the entire day.
Oh no. Which brings me to my next.
We were actually that was one of the nights we were supposed to camp. And we pulled it to Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is an old homestead that's got a restaurant, bar, and a camping area. But they had one cabin available, and we were all soaked to the core and freezing, like fingers numb, toes numb, and we all just piled into one cabin. Everywhere in that cabin, on the floor, on the couches, on chairs, everywhere, just to get warm.
Yeah, Paul and I were the only ones that were intense. Everybody else just into that, squeezed in that little cabin. It was quite hilarious.
Well, that brings me to the next question. Was the weather at all agreeable throughout the entire trip?
All but one day. Yeah, I mean, other than that, in the first couple of days, it was gorgeous. And then we had the rainstorm come through. It rained, it snowed in the morning, rained all day long. The next day, it was partly cloudy but kind of beautiful. Wow. And then towards the end of the night, we had nice, bright, sunny days. And that's pretty typical of California. Storms will roll through, and it can be pretty miserable one day, and the next day just gorgeous.
Wow. I have to assume that you were at altitude when we had this storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
That was one of the coldest days I can remember on a BDR, like just wet to the core, and we just didn't stop. We did the whole ride.
And of course, you're not riding with any heated gear, right?
I wasn't. Some people do. I don't.
Really?
Some people do. Yeah. That, you know, Ted, I wasn't even smart enough to bring waterproof gear. I'm like, I'm from the East Coast. It's like, I'm going to California. I'm going to bring my vented gear. Well, it's going to be beautiful. Yeah.
I guess you forgot about the mountain part, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had warm, I put a puffer and a couple layers, so I was okay if it got chilly, but didn't even think about the rain. Nah. It never rains in California. Isn't there a song about that?
There is.
Yeah, I don't think so. So, what, one of the things I didn't talk about and ask you about, what type of bikes did you have on this ride?
Well, of course, our two sponsors, the Zero DSRX, their electric bike, and then BMWs. I think there was three 1250 GSs. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep. I was on a 1250. Paul Gillian from Touratech, and one of our founders, was on a 1250, and Richie Few from BMW was on a 1250, and then we had two Zero DSRXs. Ina Thorne, our executive director, was on one, and Trevor Doniak from Zero was on one as well.
And then
everything else, right, Ron?
And everything else, and then Trevor Morton was on his 690. Chris was on her 690, and I was on my Husky 701 Enduro that didn't make the trip.
Oh no, really? Oh, what happened? Your bike decided to quit.
It died. Yeah, so there's a lot going on in this film. A lot on the trip that ended up on film. Yeah.
Wow. How did the electric bikes do?
Amazing.
It did great. It did really great.
What they do about recharging, though? I mean, they could go X amount of miles, but how did they recharge?
So we were able to find every night. You know, we were able to find charging for them. We were staying in lodges, so the nice thing is the flexibility with those bikes is you can plug them into a charging station, or if you can't find a charging station, you can plug them into a 110.
Yeah.
It takes a little longer, as I understand. They did quite well, you know. No, didn't really run into any range issues. Mm-hmm. We, of course, in our support truck, we did have a generator just in case, just like we carry extra fuel for the bikes, right? Just in case. We're on an expedition. We're creating a film, right? So we have to be prepared.
Of course.
And we really didn't have to tap into that. That I think maybe once we tapped into it, and it was just to make sure we made it to the end of this really long day. We probably could have made it.
Right.
It was pretty impressive. Wow. It was really impressive.
So I have to assume that they were loaded up with gear just like you guys were on your guest bikes. Wow. And they handled it well. That's good. That's interesting to know. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And now how long would it take your average Joe, somebody like myself who's never done it, how long would it take me to complete the Northern California BDR?
I'd say you'd want to take at least 6 or 7 days.
Okay. All right. That's not too bad. That's tolerable. And what about skill level? What do you think would be needed to do that?
Well, you know, I think most of the routes are designed for an intermediate plus rider, okay. You know, on a full-size adventure bike. So I think Paul probably said it best. I think he said this is kind of like right in the middle. As long as you stay off of the advanced sections, mm-hmm. He felt that it was in the middle of the other BDRs. As far as difficult.
I think I'd agree with that. And you know, that said, one of the things that I think you know about some of our awareness programs, right? Our Ride Right program, mm-hmm. and Ride Respectfully, and with our Wyoming route, we came out with Yield to Animals because the amount of wildlife that we saw out there, and we try to bring certain things into light with respect to safety and respect.
Right.
So our new campaign with this route, because those, as Ron said earlier, the expert routes are extra. They're more than they're a little harder than what our normal expert routes are.
Right.
So we created a campaign that's called Know Your Limits, right? And that's all about being honest with yourself, right? And saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to let my ego get the best of me. You know, maybe I'll sit this one out. Let you know, we've got advanced riders in the group. Let them get out there and have at it. But maybe I'm not up for it because I might put myself and others in danger if it's beyond my limit, right? And, you know, so you've got to understand, you know yourself and be honest with yourself, not succumb to pressure. And it's not just about skill either. It's about using your brain. And
sure.
If there was a rainstorm all day and that section is super muddy, you know, may not be the best, you know, in fact, we did that on one section. It was that rainy day. There was a pretty, you know, a dirt section that was going to be nothing but mud, and it would have just put everyone in danger of crashing. But it's also, you know, your level of fatigue at the end of the day.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Should I be doing this expert section at 4:30 at night, 4:30 in the afternoon, when I just rode 150 miles of dirt on a big adventure bike? You know, do I have it? Do I have that? You know, what's my level of fitness? So I think we just want to encourage people to really be honest with themselves and try to make good decisions around that.
So, right. Well, we have this saying in mountain biking. It's confidence is that feeling you get just before you fully understand a situation. Right. So
yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, you know, and our founder Paul Gillian will always say on every route, nothing good happens on a BDR after 5:30 p.m. because you're tired and you're fatigued. You know?
Yeah.
How
dirty were you guys at the end of each day?
I was pretty dirty. We put Trevor Morton up front, and I was running sweep, so I was pretty dirty.
Yeah, you'll see in the film. He's always takes off his helmet, and he's always got a full face of dirt. That's
awesome.
That's Ron's deal. We did, but the one good day when it rained all day long, and we got to our gear got completely washed. We were spit shined the next day. It was perfect.
I don't feel that way after I ride through the rain. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Aside from Ron, your bike giving up, did you guys have any other technical difficulties along the way?
As far as the bikes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Really?
A lot of I mean, the typical, you know, bolts backing out on a bash plate, and you know, master links breaking on a chain, flat tires, you know, things like that. It's just, that's just part of it, right? It's part of it, and it's part of the things that you need to be prepared for, right? You go out there, if you're going to go do one of these, make sure that you're self-sufficient, and you know, like, if you have one of these things that are common,
yeah,
right? I mean, when your engine blows, like Ron's did, there's not a whole lot you have to do, but you should really be prepared. Like, well, okay, what's the plan here?
Yeah,
you know, we're pretty far from anywhere when that happened, you know.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
Yeah, that's what you put it in the back of the support van and go home, right?
Pretty much.
That's pretty much it.
You have to do it over again.
Yeah, and then Ron just jumped on the back of my bike and we rode the next 6 days two up. It was awesome.
Did you really?
No.
Now see, that would have been a great story to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun.
No, you know, Ron,
I would do that for you. If we had you, Ron, I would do that for you.
Oh, I would probably enjoy it way too much. But you know, we are on a tight filming schedule,
yeah.
And so in our support truck, we do always have an extra vehicle, an extra bike, and so fortunately, Nathan Fant, he brought his bike, and so I jumped on his. He came and put mine in his truck, and I got on his bike the following day. And we were able to keep moving forward.
Excellent. Did you have drone footage in this film?
Oh yeah, probably the best drone footage of any. Oh man, wait till you see this film. I want you to call me, Ted, after you watch the film, because I want to hear what you think.
As a guy who flies a drone myself, I'd be really curious to see what it looks like.
Yeah. No, I mean, so here's the thing, we see this film. You know, I'm part of the editing crew that, you know, we you know, look at the drafts, and we're, you know, draft 8 or 9 by the time this thing goes live, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I never see it on the big screen. We were all out in Sacramento for the launch of this film, and I am in the, you know, the third row with the whole crew, and watching it on this ginormous, like, it was a proper theater with a huge screen and a great sound system, and holy crow, right, Bron? I mean.
Yeah. It's just nice. Amazing.
It's just, some of those scenes are so big. It's just, those drones just make it look so big.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just, God. And some of those fire towers, and you know, so that drone is getting another 100 feet higher up in the air and looking down on these fire towers that are super high, and just with a 360 view. I was blown away, and I had seen the film like probably 30 times already.
You know? Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the process, you know?
Wow.
Sierra Buttes is just so spectacular. I mean, it literally looks like somebody built a citadel. I mean, it's a rock. It looks like a citadel, something out of Game of Thrones, you know, and it's
really?
Just natural with the fire lookout sticking on top of it.
So. Oh, I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait
and
to see
scary,
it.
And scary as shit to go up those metal stairs up to the top.
Oh, of really?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I went up one fire tower up in Vermont, and it was this old wooden rickety thing. It had to be 150 feet tall. It was just, I was more scared. I was afraid the thing was going to fall over. It was this old wooden rickety, but, you know, wow, that's pretty cool. So I mean, this BDR has been like, it sounds really exciting, and I can't wait to see the film. When is it going to be available for everybody to watch online? Mm-hmm.
So the way that we do this, we do it every year. We do a film tour that runs across the United States.
Okay.
And we support the dealers, right? We want to make sure that the dealers, the motor dealers, the clubs can pack their showrooms and clubhouses. So we don't make it available for free on YouTube until May, when the film tour is over.
Okay.
I think we've got close to 80 film. Screenings across the country this year, which it was probably a record for us. So
where are the is there a place where anybody can go see where it's playing near them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that on the
100%.
Website?
Yeah, ridebdr.com /events, and you'll get right into the listing, and it'll show you, you know, It'll go by date and show you the city that right. they're in. And you know where in, it'll tell you everything about it. You know who's hosting it, what times, is it free? Are they charging? Is there you know going to be guest speakers?
Okay, I'm looking at it now. It's like all over the place. I'm looking to see if there's going to be one near me. Yeah, I'll check it. I'll check it out.
there'll be one. Well, you're in North Carolina. There's going to one. I don't know how far up in north in North Carolina you are, but there's definitely one in South Carolina. D2 Motorsports in Greer, South
yeah, I
Carolina.
I think they
have theirs in a couple of weeks, and okay. I try to get to that one. I'll be this Thursday night and Friday night. I'll be in New Jersey at the two cross country BMW is having their event at their two stores okay. in South and North Jersey, and then next Saturday I'll be at Tour Tech East in Connecticut. So I'll be up there okay. helping hosting that. And Ron, what do you have coming up? You've got quite a few as well, right?
Tomorrow, I've got Long Beach BMW showing the film there. And then this weekend, I think, is Irv Siever BMW in Irvine. And then after that, I'll be at Riverside BMW.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm joining you, Tim. You're coming back to the West Coast. Was it San Jose? Is that the end of?
Yeah, San Jose at the end of March.
March 1st or something like that, or March 30th or no.
No, it's at the end. It's end of March. It's end of March.
San Jose, California, March 30th.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. Awesome. I'm definitely going to look at this.
See you then, Ron.
Maybe I can get one of these. Oh, Raleigh. You guys are going to have it in Raleigh as well, which is just a few hours from me. So maybe I can take a trip up there. There, yeah, that's pretty good. Maybe I can make a trip up there.
Ted? Who's doing rally? I'm not familiar. What kind of dealer is it?
It just says. Let me see. Where does it say? Looking at it. It's Saturday. Garcia Moto in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Garcia Moto.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll have to definitely check that out. So listen, how can people learn more about the Northern California BDR and just BDR in general?
Our website, ridebdr.com. Also, we have Facebook group pages. So for each of our routes, Tim has helped to develop, along with our social media guru, Derek. So we have Facebook group pages. You can go on there and get additional information about the route. And I'm happy to field a question as well. So just reach directly out to me.
Excellent. And, of course, you got your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Now, we do.
Yeah. How often are those videos updated or new videos put on there?
Well, so we put new, well, once a year, we put the latest one on in sure. May. But then during the course of the year, last couple of years, we've been introducing the smaller routes, the BDRXs.
Right.
So that's been two a year. So those go on. Those don't do a film tour. We usually do a live broadcast when we launch it, and then they go right to YouTube. So at the moment it's three new films a year.
Wow! Okay.
And then plus we also do a bunch of live broadcasts a year, fundraisers and broadcasts of either, and they go on YouTube as well.
Okay.
We put a good amount. Oh, and one other thing that we do, and usually follows the launch of the route, is we do section videos, what we call section videos, and what will happen is Sterling will go back and edit and do a more kind of detailed look at each section
of
the route,
yeah,
so that it's you know less for entertainment, more for information,
right?
Like really down to those come out usually just after we launch, we put the route up there for free.
Okay.
Or the video up there for free.
Excellent.
A quick little video when we do our annual fundraiser. Is in May this year? Is it? That's when it is. But anyway, so we have an annual fundraiser, and that's a great way to get to meet the team, the board, and spend some time riding. And then generally we'll put together a little video of the fun festivities that we had at the annual fundraiser.
Right.
That one's fun. That's in Tonopah, Nevada this year, and it's in the middle of May. So it's still not sold out. Anyone that wants to come join us there, awesome. Please do. It's a we're staying at the I think the most haunted hotel in the country, right?
There you go.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
So how can people, anybody who might want to do this, any last words for those who might want to take on a BDR, like the Northern California BDR?
Well, you know, I think, you know, all the resources that we have on the website will give them specific information about the route. You know, we have a number of different training partners. You know, you want to make sure that you're as capable on your particular bike as possible. So make sure you're well trained. And then also, you know, and the other great thing about the Facebook group pages is in fact, there was a question that came up at the premiere just last Saturday about riding BDR solo. And, you know, we just simply don't recommend that.
Right.
And so I think that the Facebook group pages are a great way for you to connect up with other individuals that might like to might be able to ride the route at the same time as you. So mm-hmm. all kinds of good resources online, and the team is always available. If you go to our website, there's some information about that. But I think do we have that live yet with the did the supporter program go live yet, Tim?
For this year, I think it's just about, yeah. And it's good. I think we can just look real quick.
Check out the supporter program. Basically, what happens is that there's different levels of support.
Right.
We have our lifetime supporter, and then gold, silver, and bronze, and then evergreen. And our sponsors donate products, so that depending on your level of support, you get a nice little goodie bag of stuff. So, mm-hmm.
It's up and running. The 2024. So it's the way that, you know, people can help give back. And if you could just mention and say, hey, you know, BDR, don't forget BDR is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You know, one of the best ways to help is become a supporter.
Excellent. Anything you want to add to that, Tim?
No, just that website is your resource. It is a great place to start, right? I mean, we offer pretty much everything you need to know, and we continue to populate that as right. we get more and more information. You know, if a new campsite or a new place to stay or a new restaurant or a new general store, we'll list them on there as well. So it's a really good resource for planning your BDR, and perfect place to start. I'd say start there for
Excellent.
Sure.
All right, gentlemen. Well, listen, I want to thank you both very much for joining me here on the podcast. Tim, once again, thank you very much for coming back. And Ron, thank you for joining us on the podcast as well and telling us all about the Northern California BDR. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Ted. All right.
Motorcycle Men Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Get on over to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate and help those that are dealing with the effects of cancer. And the Gold Star Ride Foundation, we're helping families of fallen soldiers. So if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, get on over to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. And we are helping long haul Paul Pelin complete his mission to ride 1 million miles for MS. Now, he was told years ago that a cure for MS was 1 million miles away. So he decided to ride that 1 million miles for that cure. Now, you can help him by going on over to longhaulpaul.com to donate and help with his quest for that cure for MS. Thank you for joining me, Ron and Tim, from Backcountry Discovery Routes here on the Motorcycle Man Podcast. Now, you can learn more about BDR by getting on over to ridebdr.com. Naturally, links will be in the show notes. And of course, as always, on the Motorcycle Man website at www.motomenpc.com. Also, motorcyclemen.us. That works as well. Hey, don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel. Watch some of the many videos I have over there. And if you would please also like and subscribe. That would be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. So for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thank you for listening, boys and girls. And remember, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.